Chapter 9. That night, hovering over the breakfast table beside two thick candles, Sini rubbed the sprout of a headache from her right temple. A ledger sat open under one wrist, while the list from Magician Bailey was sprawled beneath the other. Number 24. Something to cross a river. She chewed on the end of her pencil. Surely she wouldn't have to physically cross a river. As far as she knew, the magician's test wasn't mobile. But then again, she knew never to expect the expected when it came to magicians, especially folders. Emery had taught her that, and on her very first day as his apprentice, no less. Something to cross a river. A shiver coursed up one arm, across her shoulders, and down the other. Would they make her demonstrate the device? Either way, she couldn't let her hydrophobia thwart her chances of winning her certificate. She just couldn't. Sighing, Sienny scanned down the list to numbers 32 and 33. Something to cause a storm and something to repel the rain. All three items were water-related. The storm wasn't specific, though. Perhaps she could create the illusion of a storm, or fold dozens of water droplet-shaped spells that could fall from the ceiling like paper snowflakes. As for repelling the rain, real rain, she assumed, Sienny's mind warped back to the night she and Emery had fallen into the river in their buggy, and the conceal spell Emery had used. It had taken a bowed shape, similar to an umbrella. Such a spell, modified, could potentially repel rain for a short time. Serraj. Sienny shook her head. He, of course, had caused the accident, but she couldn't worry about him now. She had a test to focus on. A test that Magician Bailey apparently didn't believe she could pass. "He's still in England," a persistent voice insisted. Sienny set her pencil down and rubbed the base of her hands into her eyes. "Focus!" A knock sounded at her door. Sienny lowered her hands as Fennel's tail shot straight into the air in excitement. He yipped his whispery bark and hurried for the door. Sienny almost stopped the paper dog, but surely Magician Bailey wouldn't come all this way to speak to her. And about what? Certainly not to apologize. "Come in," she said. The door creaked open, and Bennett poked his head in. His blue-eyed gaze jumped to Fennel almost instantly.
"Oh, my!"
he said, crouching down and prodding the dog's ears. When he realized they wouldn't fall off or crumple under his touch, he let himself get a bit rougher.
"This is the dog!"
"Fennel," Sienny said with a smile. "He's been aching for company." Fennel yipped and put his front paws on Bennett's knees, licking his hands with that paper tongue. Sienny hoped it didn't leave any paper cuts in its wake, as it had been known to do. After a moment, Bennett stood.
"Do you mind?"
Sienny waved him forward. Bennett shut the door to prevent Fennel's escape, glanced around for a moment, then took the chair opposite Sienny, though there wasn't an inch of free space on the breakfast table.
"I wanted to come by and apologize for Magician Bailey."
"He can't apologize for himself?"
"He's just got some chipped shoulders, if you know what I mean."
Fennel sniffed about the newcomer's shoes for a moment before occupying himself with something on the other side of the bed.
"I have a vague idea," Sienny said. She knew the man had been picked on in school,
Emery being one of his tormentors, but that had been years ago. Surely he hadn't held on to such old grievances for so long.
"But it gives him no excuse. If nothing else, I'm a lady."
"He's just different, I guess," Bennett said. "I had a hard time adjusting too, but after a month or so, I started to understand him. We get on well now."
Sienny shut her ledger. "He treats you like a butler."
"No," Bennett said. "Not really. I mean, please and thank you aren't foremost in his vocabulary, but he means them, implies them. If he asks you to do a small task, there's no harm in doing it, and he'll be more pleasant afterward. That's one rule I've learned."
Despite being a lady, Sienny snorted and leaned back in her chair.
"Rule?
What other rules should I be aware of?
Well, Bennett paused, thinking. It's best not to bother him in the morning if you need something, and requests are best made through paper mail. You know, sending a crane to his office.
But we're in the same house.
A big house, but it takes the edge off, Bennett explained. You know, lets him mull it over before answering. He doesn't like to be surprised, and he's more positive when given a chance to mull.
Cini resisted the urge to roll her eyes.
Really, though,
Bennett clasped his hands in his lap.
It takes him a long time to get used to people, and he just likes to keep to himself. Sometimes it's nice not to have to report every little thing, you know? As long as I keep up with my lessons and get my homework done on time, we get along. And he doesn't care what I do with my free time. There's lots of space to stretch out.
A long sigh passed through Cianni's lips. I suppose he and I are just very different, she said. Bennett straightened, eyes wide and hopeful. And, Cianni continued, it's only for a few weeks.
I can follow these rules for a few weeks.
Bennett grinned.
I'm happy to help, always, if you need anything. I know you're more advanced and all.
You'll be testing soon, won't you? She asked. Bennett shrugged.
Maybe in a year. I don't know. I don't think I'm ready.
Cianni frowned. With a different teacher, you might be. He smiled.
I appreciate your confidence. And when you need a break, there's a really lovely park not far from here. Magician Bailey has his own Mercedes, and sometimes he lets me take it out. There's a duck pond, and it's a nice place for a picnic.
Cianni, who had taken to bending the corner of her test list back and forth, slowed her fingers. She kept her shoulders lax, but her chest began to warm. Surely Bennett wasn't insinuating a date, was he? Oh? She asked,
prodded. Just say the word.
Cianni glanced to one of the paper butterflies beside her window. I guess I just won't give the word, she thought. No harm done.
Thank you for the offer, she said. Hopefully I won't need a break.
She sighed and lifted the list from the table. I have so much to do. I'll have to get to folding tomorrow.
Well, I won't keep you,
Bennett said, rising from the table. Fennel ran over to meet him, perhaps hoping the visitor would play. Bennett laughed and rubbed the top of the paper dog's head.
So expertly made, he said. I'm really impressed. Would you consider letting me take him apart to see how he works? I don't recognize some of these folds.
Cianni stiffened. Her extra enchantments on Fennel aside, she couldn't bear the thought of someone taking him apart. Not when Emery's hands had so expertly crafted him. Twice.
I'd prefer to keep him intact, she said.
Fortunately, Bennett didn't push the matter.
All right. But I wouldn't mind getting a lesson from you in advanced animation, he said,
apparently assuming Cianni, the pup's creator.
Have a good night.
She smiled.
You too. And thank you.
Bennett left the room, shutting the door quietly behind him. Ignoring her work, Cianni penned Emery a note and folded it into a crane. She didn't mention Bennett's invitation. Magician Pritwin Bailey paced back and forth in the apprentice's study, turning just before reaching either curtain covering the large window. Morning sunlight gleamed off his spectacles whenever he passed in front of a certain ray of light, and he clasped his hands behind his back.
Recite the steps for a stiffen spell,
he commanded Bennett, who sat dutifully in a chair at the table. Cianni, as before, had taken up residence in the corner of the room. She held her ledger on her lap, though the writing on the current page grew more lax and sloppy with each passing line. The words morphed from thoughts on her magician's test to unsorted notes regarding Saraj Prendi.
He wouldn't be in that community, Sini thought, thinking of her personal investigation in Gosport. But could I send in spies? No, if there were anything to find there, criminal affairs would have found it. They'd catch me. And besides, paper spells aren't complex enough to hold the orders I would need to give them. It's a dead end. Criminal affairs had more information than she did. Magician Hughes had been impressed with her before. Perhaps he'd share something with her. But Emery had already spoken with him. If he didn't relay any information to Emery, he certainly wouldn't let Cianney know his secrets. She frowned.
Doesn't work with complex folds, Bennett said from his seat.
The stiffen spell, a spell that would temporarily harden paper, was one Cianney had learned on her 211th day as an apprentice. It sounded like Bennett had learned it recently, written an essay about it, and was now being given a verbal quiz.
If I've heard nothing new about Saraj, he's probably not a threat, she chided herself.
A moment passed before a speculative thought arrived.
But that also means he hasn't been caught.
She adjusted herself on the chair.
I haven't been in contact with Magician Avioski. And Emery, if Magician Hughes did update him, would he be willing to share bad news?
She turned back one page in her ledger, where a creased magenta paper poked out from the ledger's binding, having once held the form of a butterfly.
Thinking of you. Study hard. And don't let them get to you.
She wondered if them included Bennett, or if Emery had been referring to the entire education board. Cianney wasn't sure how many of its members would be present for her actual test. Letting out a long breath, Cianney flipped the page back over and examined her notes, which included drawings of stars with rounded corners attached to V-shaped bird wings. Number 44, something to guide your way through the dark. She had decided to make starlights that would fly a step ahead of her when she moved. She had them half-folded back in her room, but had taken a break from her work after receiving a paper bat from Magician Bailey, requesting her presence at Bennett's morning lesson. She tuned into the review for a few seconds. Pointless. Perhaps Magician Bailey intended to waste her time so she wouldn't have a chance to finish her test preparation. Bennett glanced in her direction, but Cianney averted her gaze to the window. After spending half a minute staring at the roof to the unused servants' quarters, Cianney kept her visage fixed on her ledger for the rest of the lesson. She reread Emery's note. It made her chest hurt.
Miss Twill.
She glanced up. Magician Bailey stood at the end of the table where Bennett had sat perched moments before. Bennett himself had left. And smoothed out a long, rectangular piece of white paper across it. He then stood erect, folded his forearms behind his back, and gestured to the table with his narrow chin.
Let's have a test of our own, shall we?
He said. Cianney set her ledger down on the chair and stood.
We'll have a test of our own in 2.5 weeks, or have you forgotten?
She approached the table.
Tell me,
the folder began,
how are your skills with paper illusions?
Were they not satisfactory, I wouldn't be here, sir.
Show me.
He gestured to the paper. Cianney examined the paper before her, thinking of the party decorations she had done for Mrs. Holloway.
So long ago.
Yet it wasn't. Did Magician Bailey ever send Bennett on such errands? Cianney couldn't imagine the folder taking time out of his schedule for that sort of work. Then again, she couldn't imagine anyone asking him for it. Textbooks, indeed.
Did you want something in particular? She asked.
Magician Bailey walked around the table, taking up the same slow march she had used during Bennett's lesson.
No,
he said.
But try to impress me.
Cianney took a deep breath and held it in her lungs for several seconds. She stared at the paper. What would impress an arrogant man like Magician Bailey? The illusion of a French dinner? A peek into a junglescape, like the design she'd created for Mrs. Holloway? She thought of the park Bennett had mentioned, the one with the duck pond. She'd never done an illusion like that, and the prospect of trying it without testing it first made her nervous. But if she could turn the tabletop into fish-filled water and lily pads, it would undoubtedly be impressive. Emery would think so, anyway. She moved to the far left side of the paper and picked up one corner, but hesitated before folding it. Magician Bailey's eyes pinned her to the floor. She could feel his gaze on the back of her neck, but she ignored him. The problem is that he can take a walk any time he wants and see a pond, she thought, chewing on her lower lip. I need to do something different. She mulled, considering. Magician Bailey sighed.
To start, you should.
I'm merely giving my creativity a moment to work, Cini interrupted. But thank you for the willingness to assist. After another moment, she began to fold. She started with the corners, pinching them, twisting one to add depth to the illusion. She grabbed a pencil from the desk so she could draw the spell's shapes, words, and other symbols that would contort the illusion into looking the way she wanted. She used a great deal of guessing in the appearance of the illusion. Telescopes, enchanted or not, could only reveal so much, but hopefully that guessing would make the final result more impressive. Magician Bailey watched her silently, thankfully withholding commentary. Cianni focused on her growing spell, trying not to wonder at what the folder might be thinking. A fan fold, another symbol, and the long parchment darkened and speckled with spots of white. A muted dog ear fold on the bottom corner made the specks rotate in slow motion. A whispered instruction added even more depth. More words, more shapes hidden by blackness. When Cianni stepped back, she and Magician Bailey stared into a piece of the sky itself, beyond what the human eye could see. Stars tumbled in different sizes and colors, a distant galaxy hovered in the upper right corner, and a comet burned its way across the paper's surface. She included a rendition of the moon in the lower left, 3/4 of its cratered surface lit by the sun's light. Above it hovered Saturn, complete with a soft glow and dozens of tiny rings. Cianni grinned. She had done well. Magician Bailey said nothing. She looked at him, at the unreadable expression on his face. One forearm folded across his ribs, his other hand pinched his chin between thumb and forefinger as he studied her work. He didn't seem impressed. He didn't seem anything. Cianni wondered if she should ask for his evaluation or stay silent. She chose the latter. A long minute passed before he said,
A decent illusion.
From Magician Bailey, Cianni considered that high praise. He continued,
I'm actually surprised at how quickly you finished it. 12 minutes and 34 seconds is fast for a page this size.
You timed me? He gestured weakly to the clock above the door.
A good time. Not the fastest, of course, but for an apprentice with only 2 years' experience, a good time. Magician Thane must have finally gotten his wits about him and begun decent training. Unless you had a second tutor.
Cianni's neck grew hot. She swallowed hard and said, I did not have a second tutor. He nodded, fingers still pinching his chin.
Wits it is, then. Good. I was worried the board would put him on probation after his illustrious failure with his last apprentice. I'm surprised they assigned a female apprentice to him.
Cianni's lips parted. Unseen spiders crawled up her back. For a moment, she found herself speechless, but after a few seconds, she found her voice. How dare you? She said. You know nothing about that. Emery's second apprentice, Daniel. She had first learned of him during her journey through Emery's heart 2 years ago. Emery had transferred the apprentice after the situation with Lyra, his ex-wife and a rising exciseiner, grew too heated. It had been for Daniel's own safety. Magician Bailey lowered his hand from his face. His eyes narrowed.
I'm stating a fact, Miss Twill. You'd do best to hold your tongue.
I will not, Cianney snapped. I've been here 3 days, and already I've heard far too many jabs at Magician Thane. Regardless of any malice you two had in the past, he is a good man and a fantastic teacher, and I refuse to hear another word of this slander.
A flush burned a path across Magician Bailey's pale skin.
How dare you speak to me in such a manner?
How dare you speak to me in such a manner? Cianney shot back, feeling her own flush rise. I did not come here to be insulted, or to listen to you affront my tutor.
Miss Twill!
You're just jealous that he's a better folder than you, she spat.
Magician Bailey's eyes went wide. Cianney snatched her ledger and marched for the door. She needed to get out of the room before she said more. This was the man who would be testing her, for heaven's sake. What fool thing had she done now? Fortunately, the folder said nothing after her, nothing she could hear anyway, and he didn't pursue her, not that Cianney turned around to check. Her footsteps echoed through the wide, empty halls, so lavish and cold. Her heels clomped in time with her pulse. She made it to her bedroom and only just resisted the impulse to slam the door. Fennel, perched upon the bed, lifted his head, but even the paper dog sensed her foul mood and covered his muzzle with his rubber-lined paws. Cianney pinched the phosphorus charm on her necklace. In less than a minute, she could summon fireballs and literally burn this horrible mansion down to size. Let Magician Bailey deal with that. Insufferable. How she pitied Bennett.
He'll toss me out, Cianney thought, pacing to the other end of the room.
She pulled the pin from her hair and ran rigid fingers through the orange locks.
But what does it matter? I don't need him to be the one who tests me. Who cares if others question my abilities? I want Emery to administer my test.
She thought of the newspaper article.
Scandal.
She harumphed.
Who cares? Anything would be worth getting away from Pritwin Bailey.
She dropped the hairpin onto her mattress and paced the length of the room 2 more times before pausing with her hands on her hips. She took a deep breath through her nose and released it slowly between tight lips. Study, she said aloud. Passing her test was her foremost goal now. She needed to be prepared regardless of who served as her tester. Cianney jerked back one of the 2 chairs at the breakfast table, sat, and dropped her ledger on the table's glass surface. She opened it to the first page, shut it, opened it, and turned to her notes on starlights, flipped a few pages ahead, and grabbed a pencil. She held it over the paper, intending to pen a note to Emery, but she couldn't focus on that either. What good would it do to write him a note in anger? Anyway, she knew he'd tell her to stay, if Pritwin would let her, at any rate. Groaning, Cianney shut the ledger once more and leaned back in the chair. She would never pass at this rate. Magician Bailey had utterly shattered her ability to concentrate. Leaning back, Cianney stared at the ceiling and listened to her own breathing, waiting as it gradually slowed. Her neck hurt by the time she straightened. She turned in response to a soft tapping at her bedroom window. Cianney released a long breath, which contorted her lips into a smile. Perfect timing, she thought, rising from her seat. She couldn't run crying into Emery's arms, but his encouraging words always did wonders for her spirit. She opened her window, expecting a small paper butterfly or glider, but the crumpled spell that fell over the windowsill had not been crafted by Emery's hands, but her own. In her surprise, Cianney let the window fall shut. She scooped the red songbird into her palms. Rain had crinkled its pointed wings, and wind had bent and weakened its beak and tail. Dirt smudged the bright crimson paper, making it look rusty. Cini smoothed the edges of the spell in an attempt to coax it to life, barely breathing as she did so. This songbird was one of four she had folded in Gosford during her search for Saraj. How long had it spent scouring England for him? How long had it spent searching for her? What had it found? It was probably something inconsequential, like the Enclave, but she had to know. "Can you show me where?" she asked the weakened spell. The songbird hopped limply in her hands and toppled over against her fingers. She pressed her lips together. The spell would never have the strength to fly to its destination, however near or far it might be. Cini didn't think it could take to the air again at all. Not with damage of this extent. She might not be able to follow it anyway, and she knew no way to transfer the knowledge of one spell to another. She couldn't fold a second bird. She chewed on the edge of her tongue for a long moment, then remembered the technical library. Maps, she thought. Magician Bailey had huge ones. It might be enough. Holding her breath, Cini dug out the mimic spell she'd shared with Magician Avioski. Perhaps the gaffer had written back with news. If criminal affairs had a good lead on Saraj, there would be no need for her to follow up. She found the spell. Blank. Pinching the wings of the fatigued bird in her fingers, Cini abandoned her studies and hurried to the technical library, trying her hardest not to run.